Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Tell you, it's not an awful feeling just to be confused about your career calling. Let me tell you something else, Maestro, that is an awful feeling. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. It is an awful feeling to be in an allergy-induced comatose state.
Wow.
You know, do you have any allergy problems?
I think I'm running into some lately in my older years.
Yeah. Well, I have had allergy issues my entire life, and we are actually in my favorite time of year, which is the fall. And both in the spring and in the fall, the allergens come out. And right now, I am suffering from what I like to label an allergy-induced coma. And it remains to be seen whether or not I begin to slur my speech during the broadcast today and whether or not I can think coherently. Because even though to the normal human eye, I might look somewhat normal, on the inside, I am struggling to keep it all together. That was exacerbated by the fact that I accidentally stumbled upon an apple cake this morning and accidentally consumed some of that apple cake for my breakfast. Now, allergy-induced comas coupled with sugar-induced comas make for a very, very bad radio host if you're not careful. So before I get myself into too much trouble, let me introduce myself. My name is Robbie Romeiser, and welcome to another edition of Career Callings, where our goal and our mission is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Probably one of the best things about today's show is that since I am in a comatose state, I won't have to do much talking because we have a fantastic guest that I am excited to interview today. Let me properly introduce her. Her name is Kathy Etchison, and Kathy is a dedicated wife, mother, and daughter of King Jesus, and she possesses a sales and management background, but that was not what God meant for her in her lifelong path, at least long term. During Kathy's first pregnancy, she was placed on bed rest only 2 months in, removing her from the typical workplace and bringing her focus closer to home. And as she rose to the challenge of raising a growing family, God began to steer her, her path and mold her heart, starting to reveal that he had a different plan for her future. A few years later, Kathy and her husband John decided to homeschool their three children, and Kathy became a teacher, another new and crucial role in her life. And being in the role of mother and teacher, her creative side was awakened. And as the pieces continued to fall into place, God revealed the plan he had for both Kathy and John to co-author a book called Elkin, The Adventure of a Lifetime. And later, Kathy began to teach creative writing classes at the local homeschool co-op. And today, I want to welcome to Career Callings, Kathy Etchison. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you on here. And as we explore the concept of career callings on this radio show, I always look for people that have interesting stories about how God has directed their path from a vocational standpoint and given them purposes and missions in life that they want, that God wants them to accomplish for His glory. And when I learned about what you guys have done with Elkin, that was a perfect fit for what we do here. So I want to kind of ask you to kind of introduce to the audience what Elkin is and what the inspiration was for writing the book.
Sure. Well, the book is about a young boy. His name is Elkin, and he's in his Sunday school helping his teacher, and there's a leak in the roof, and she sends him down to the basement to get a bucket. And while he's down there, he finds this old book on a shelf, and he opens it up, and he's just able to read the words in the beginning before the electricity goes out, and he's there in the dark. The next thing he knows, he finds himself on a ship, and his guide on the ship is named Captain Kamali. And Captain Kamali tells him about a treasure chest that's on the ship, and the chest has seven locks that has seven corresponding keys that they need to find and seven different seas. And the seas are each representative of different parts of biblical history. And he doesn't get to know that until he really starts experiencing these things firsthand. And that's when he'll find each key. And his quest is to get the contents of the chest to its rightful owner.
Okay. And what was the inspiration for writing that book? Why, it sounds like an exciting story, but what prompted you to put that together in the first place?
Well, you see, I wasn't raised as a Christian. I was saved later in life, and my boys were a little bit older at that time. And I really wanted to give them what I didn't have growing up, and that was a solid biblical foundation. And we wanted to get them excited about the Bible, and we wanted them to know why we need a Savior and who that Savior is. And when we went to the store and looked, we found stuff that was either way too young for them, or it was, you know, older and just really dry because, you know, at their age at that time, they needed something exciting, an adventure. And everything like that, it was all an allegory where if you don't know the stories from the Bible, if you don't know that history, you can't pull it out of the allegory. So we really wanted to put the cookies on the bottom shelf for them so that they could really get those stories and be excited about it and excited to get into Scripture.
Mm-hmm. I wish you hadn't said cookies because now you made me hungry. I'm a chocolate chip cookie fanatic, so now I got to go home. Thanks a lot, Kathy. I appreciate it. Now I got to go to Bilo or Ingles and buy some cookies today. Maestro, you went in on that action?
Chick-fil-A
has a pretty good cookie?
Oh, yes, they do.
Well, how about Fuddruckers? You like Fuddruckers? Fuddruckers has got melt-in-your-mouth cookies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that has nothing to do with Elkins. So but I blame Kathy because she brought it up. All right, so you mentioned it earlier on as you were describing the story that it's a biblical adventure, and you're wanting to put these, like you said, cookies on the bottom of the shelf so people can connect the dots. Can you elaborate a little bit more about how it's a biblical adventure story?
Well, it's an adventure in the traditional sense that there's a quest and a treasure, and there's the excitement of the adventure. But it takes place with Elkin actually witnessing events in the Bible firsthand. It's like he's actually there.
Okay, so it's kind of like a... Well, is it safe to say kind of like a time machine type of scenario where he's gone back in time and, like you said, he's actually there watching what's going on in the biblical story?
Kind of. I would think more along the lines. You know when you read a book and you just kind of get sucked into that book so you feel like you are sitting right there?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I like to think about it. Is he's just like drawn right into there to the point that he is actually there firsthand witnessing it.
Gotcha. Kind of want to shift gears on you with that and dig a little bit deeper into the story behind the, I almost hate to use this term, but this is the only term that comes to mind, the evolution of the story of Elkin. You know, one of the things I ask people a lot of times when I have them as guests on the show is, you know, what was it that made you understand this is something God wanted you to do? So do you have anything can you tell us your story about what it is that God did to make it obvious to you you were supposed to be doing this? Because I'm a little bit of a writer myself. I know it takes effort to write. So what prompted you to do this?
You know, everything along the way with all of this, it's just we've seen his hand so many times because if you would have come to me 20 years ago and said that we'd be having this conversation right now, I would have laughed because I would never have thought I'd be a published author, never would have thought that, you know, at that point I wouldn't have thought I would have been a Christian because it was so far from anything that was even in my plans or anything. I mean, with everything, it even goes down to with him showing us the way of doing stuff. At one point, I grew up in Pennsylvania. I'm now living in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And after we wrote the book, I connected with a guy that I went to high school with who back then, neither of us, as far as I know, he wasn't a Christian, I wasn't. Well, we had both come to Christ. We're both now living in Cincinnati. And he reads the book and he's like, oh, I need you to let me give this to my youth pastor. And so he passed the book along to her, and she had been praying about a way that she could write her own VBS, and she wanted to know if she could use it. And it things like that, that just every time that we've thought, okay, God's done with this whole thing, he does something like that that you never would have envisioned. You know, it's just completely out of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, it absolutely does. I'm horrible about remembering specific Bible references. I have to always look them up, but the ability to remember the content of a reference is pretty easy for me. So what comes to mind is the Bible verse that says, the man deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And that's exactly what you just illustrated there. Now, when you felt like it was laid on your heart to write this book, you and your husband, Did you feel resistant to that at the beginning, and how did God overcome that resistance, if indeed you did? In about a minute and a half, tell us how that worked out for you guys.
You know, initially, I don't think we had any resistance to writing the book. We wanted to do that for our kids, and every morning they were telling us how much they enjoyed it, and they were encouraging us to do it. I know later on we did feel a little bit. I don't know the best way to put it, but we were afraid, if you will, to step out in different parts. But he's just always given us reasons to just keep going forward. Even when we think there's no reason to, he'll give us different people that'll come into our path and encourage us and things like that that just keep us going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is definitely faithful to do that. Not only the encouragement of other people, but I would imagine he has in your life, like he has in my life. From time to time, you'll be reading the Word of God, and suddenly some passage will just jump off the page at just the right time to remind you of a biblical truth that keeps you going down his path.
Yeah,
definitely. All right. Well, we are talking with Kathy Etchison, co-author of the book Elkin, and we will talk more about this wonderful story and also about the impending effort to make it into a movie when we get back from the break. See you in just a few minutes. All right, I'm here with Kurt Restine with DCS Associates. And Kurt, just want to ask you, how do you see Teach Me Morpheus benefiting your business?
Before tax season starts, I get many of the same questions every single year from my clients. Morpheus is going to really help out in the aspect of a better client experience, being able to get their questions answered quickly. The other thing that's appealing about Morpheus is that I will be paid once those clients purchase that video. So that gives incentive to answer more questions and get good feedback from my clients as to what they want to learn about.
Help your customers make money for your organization. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for your business or nonprofit. To learn more, check out TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart-connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason, roaming through the night.
Welcome back to Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser, 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649 by phone or text. You can reach out to us or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. We are having a fantastic discussion with Kathy Etchison, author of the adventure book Elkin, The Adventure of a Lifetime. It's a biblically oriented adventure story that Kathy and her husband John wrote for their kids, which actually leads me into a question that the great maestro Gary Miller said off air I had to ask, and since I must obey the maestro, Kathy, I want to ask this question because it was a good one. When you guys felt led to write Elkin, did you only have in mind writing this story for your own children, or did you have any inkling of an idea that maybe it would reach out beyond to many, many others?
You know, when we were writing it, we were writing it specifically for our boys. We actually, the lead character, Elkin, is the culmination of our two sons kind of smushed together with their personalities. If you know them and you read the book, you'll see them there. But as we were writing it, kind of in the back of our minds, we're thinking of all of the different things that are out there in the culture today that, you know, kids are getting bombarded with, and a lot of it being like movies and such. And we couldn't help but just kind of have this stirring, if you will, that wouldn't it be great if we could get this out there onto the big screen and have people see this and affect these other kids? Because one statistic that we heard years ago is that there are 400,000 churches and 4,000 movie theaters, and which one is affecting the culture more? And that just always stuck with us. So, yeah, it kind of was in the back of our head that we did want to get out there and equip other kids as well.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you, that's a great clue for anybody listening to the show today that wants to have an understanding of a vocational or career calling that God might have for someone. God laid on your heart, he showed you a need. He laid on your heart a way to fulfill that need. And as is often the case, he localized that need immediately, or at least initially, with your own family. Because if most people, like, I can only speak for myself, but I think there's also biblical precedence as well. A lot of times God only shows us a little bit of the picture because we're not ready to see the whole thing on the front end. It's only after we take steps down the path he's directed us on will we be able to see and actually handle some of the bigger picture stuff that he wants us to do. And you were obedient to that, which is what brought you guys to where you are today. That's exciting, and that's a great clue. Another great question that Maestro Gary Miller came up with during the break, and it was a perfect one to ask, is this entire journey behind Elkin began with a salvation decision at some point in your life. And if you don't mind, share your testimony and how God started your life for him with the salvation of your soul.
Sure. I'm sorry if I get a little bit emotional. This is really close to my heart here. So
sure.
When I grew up, like I said, I didn't grow up in a Christian household. Depending on when you talk to us, it was either that we were atheist or agnostic, but we were definitely not, you know, believers in the Bible. That was the furthest thing. I got into a lot of trouble growing up. I was a very troubled child. I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. When I was young, I got married really young. And it was actually to my first husband, the boy's biological father. And when he was not a believer also. And I got pregnant very young also. And 2 months in, I ended up going on to bed rest. So you can imagine after that pregnancy, when I finally got to term with my son, I was thrilled to have my child. Mm. But within the first 48 hours, he actually stopped breathing 3 times.
Oh, wow.
And they ran all kinds of tests on him to figure out what was going on. And what the diagnosis ended up being is it was a genetic disorder. And with the different things that they came up with in the test, they told us that he wasn't going to make it.
Mm.
They said that if we were lucky, he would live to be about 3 years old. But with the way he was presenting, it probably wouldn't be that long.
Mm.
So needless to say, without having that foundation, without having anything, I was absolutely crushed, and I couldn't do anything but cry and sure. just rock my baby, and I wanted to die along with him because he was the one good thing I had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they brought a grief counselor in to talk to me, and she just talked to me about stuff, and she just suddenly stopped and looked at me. It was like somebody was whispering in her ear, and you know, now looking back, I know somebody was.
Yep.
But she stopped. She said, "Do you mind if I put you and the baby on a prayer chain at my church?" And I was just so, you know, full of myself back then. I looked at her. I said, "You know, honey, if it makes you feel better, you go right ahead."
Mm-hmm.
And so she did. She put us on the prayer chain. And one of the blood tests that they were doing on him was a lactic acid level. And his was out the roof all along. And it just had been getting higher ever since he was born. Well, the next morning, the level actually dropped. And they were like, "No, it's, you know, these things happen. Don't get excited. He's not cured." But 2 weeks later, I went home with a completely normal boy.
He's Amen.
18 years old now.
Amen.
So at that point, I realized, okay, God's real. You know, it's not all these other things. It's the God of the Bible that was prayed to, that healed my son. And so then I wish I could say that I accepted Jesus at that point, but I was a little bit slower in coming to him. I knew that he was real and the Bible was true, but I also knew what I was, and I didn't understand the loving grace that Jesus gives to us. You know, I didn't get that. I thought, okay, he must hate me because of what I was. And over the course of the next couple of years, I ended up sinking into a really deep depression. And after my second son was born, I decided I couldn't take life anymore. And I actually wanted to kill myself.
Mm.
And I was in the process with pills in my hand, ready to take them, ready to just send it all. And my younger son yelled out, "Mommy." And at that point, I realized, what am I doing? I can't leave them. And I checked myself into the hospital. And while I was there, I talked to the hospital chaplain. And he explained things to me a little bit more. Got me my first Bible, because I didn't even know where to get them.
Mm-hmm.
I was so disconnected from where you even get a Bible. And I started reading, and I realized God didn't hate me. He died for me because he knew what I was. He loved me that much.
Absolutely.
And that's how I came to faith.
Well, that
and,
is...
Yeah.
That is a you are you as all of us are a treasure of God's grace, and thank you so much for sharing that on the air. That's, you know, it all starts really being willing to dedicate your life and fulfill God's purpose in your life must begin with a story like that where you understood that you're not your own, that you're God's treasure, and that He loved you to die enough to die for you, and all we have to do is accept the fact that we are nothing apart from Him, and He must be the source of our salvation. And from that gratitude and understanding comes the willingness to turn around and do whatever we have to do vocationally to please Him. And what a blessing that you shared that. I really appreciate that. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left in the show, so what I want to do quickly is play a clip of a video that introduces the first scene of your show, and then I'd like you to speak for a few moments towards the effort to make this into a movie. So, Maestro, go ahead real quick.
There are over 400,000 churches in this country. There are only 4,000 movie theaters. Which do you think is making a greater impact on the culture? Imagine you're around 12 years old. This is your church. It's a stormy Sunday morning, and the roof begins to leak. Your Sunday school teacher sends you to the basement to get a bucket. During your search, you discover an old, mysterious book sitting on a cluttered, dusty shelf. You pull it down and open it. There's a crack of thunder, and the lights go out. Lightning flickers through the small basement windows, briefly illuminating the words, "In the beginning, God." Suddenly, you hear footsteps shuffle and clunk behind you. As you turn, you see the dirty orange glow of a lantern reflecting off the face of a tall, square-jawed man. All of a sudden, the room begins to move, and you find yourself on a ship. Your quest: find the seven keys to the seven locks on a treasure chest aboard the ship. Your adventure begins.
All right, that sounds great. And Kathy, we've got about a minute, so tell me in about a minute's time, if you can, how this is coming together and how people can support your effort to make Elkin into a movie.
Sure. If they could go to our website, elkanthemovie.com, that's E-L-K-A-N, themovie.com, it'll reroute them to our Indiegogo campaign where they can see that clip that you just played, the video portion of it, and they can see all about how they can help us raise the funds to do the development funds for this project. And they can also follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, with LTN Adventure.
Very good. And how can people purchase a copy of your book if they wanted to do that as well? I guess you're on Amazon and places like that?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. Any of the online booksellers should be able to get it through that. If they wanted to go to elkanthebook.com, we do have a website for the book where they could get it through there.
Very good. And as always, I will link on careercallings.net/radio, link to today's broadcast, as well as links to those websites so you can support the book and the movie project and support making this great biblical story part of our culture. God bless at Career Callings. Have a great day.